You're listening to the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Welcome to A Biblical Response. In this hour, we invite you to take a journey with us to the heart of some of the hot-button issues of our day. What is behind these issues? How are Christians supposed to respond to them? Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So join us now as we bring God's word to bear on the narratives and the news that threaten our peace and cast darkness on our land.
And welcome to A Biblical Response on this wonderful Tuesday on the 11th of November.
It's special, a frigid Tuesday, frigid. Which yes. I love.
Well, yes, and now people who've come down from the north are saying, what do you mean frigid? You know, we left snow and ice, or ice was on the way, and, you know, this is like spring to us, you know, so I understand that. Welcome to Florida, and enjoy the cooler, the warmer weather for you and the cooler weather for us. But you're right, Ann. I'm going to introduce my co-host, who I'm joyously present with. I have a little shout-out before we open up our theme today. Keith Masters, man. You, what a great brother you are. Thank you.
Praise God.
You know, I mean, I praise God for you. And
because it ain't me.
Well, no, I know. It's grace, man. Amen. It's grace.
Amen.
And that's, you're a great brother even without bringing the donuts.
I did bring the donuts.
But you did
today.
Bring donuts today. That just underscores the wonderfulness that God made you. The guy that he made you is making you, right?
Yes, it's a journey.
It is a journey. Yep. Believe me, we'll...
And we love the journey.
We love the journey. We do.
We really do. We love the journey. Everything that, you know, that God is doing, because he's always working in us.
Amen. Always.
Always.
Usually we know it. Sometimes we don't.
Right.
But he is still working.
Right. Right.
And he never lets us go.
That's right.
What did Jesus say? Behold, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age.
Amen.
And he really meant it.
I will never leave you nor forsake you.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Stephanie Jacobson, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm glad to be here as well. I didn't tell you all this before I got on air, but I had a little fender bender last night.
Oh, you did mention.
You did mention. I guess I did in the thing,
text,
didn't I?
Yeah.
I didn't today though. So
I'm sorry.
No, it was. Speaking of shout outs, the gentleman that I bumped into, his name is Jay, a 20-year-old kid that I was just really blessed to have met last night.
What do you mean you bumped into?
Well. We hit.
Oh, you hit, not somebody else hit you.
Well, somebody bumped me into them. So
the first guy
went flying off and did not stop. So that was fun. But but we had a really good conversation. And so, you know, sometimes God uses these things to bring him glory. And I'm thinking, how in the world?
To meet this person.
It was wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so thank you, Lord, for the hard things. And I'm always looking forward to the good things, but
amen.
it was good. It's good to be here this morning. And,
the journey.
And I have a car to be here with. So
that's
God. That's
working.
A good thing.
A little wrinkled, but it's still here.
Is your car disabled?
No, it's not.
You can't even see a mark on the car is what she said.
Oh,
well, really?
No, there's a mark.
Oh, there's
a mark.
Oh, God.
Is there a little wrinkle?
That's going to leave a mark.
There's a
mark.
That's
going to leave a mark.
But it, God,
I'm sorry, Stephanie.
God took care of it. He took care of us, and there was definitely angels, because all I saw was lights, and I wasn't sure how I got out of it with that least of a bump on me.
That's less grace.
Of a bump, yeah. It was definitely his.
So your body's okay?
No
aches
or
pains? Fine.
Okay, good.
Yep.
Great.
Well, you know, I've got wrinkles and I'm still moving. So,
I got wrinkles, but that's not from them.
You know, and I can't take them to a body shop. Ann Limhoko, good morning.
Good morning. You know what? I woke up early today, earlier than normal, to go outside. And
is
we
that
may
a call
have a
already?
Caller already. Should
well,
I grab them, Mr. Producer?
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, caller, you're on the air. There you go. Caller, you're on the air.
Yeah.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. My name is Al Costello. I'm calling on behalf of Veterans Day.
Al, it's Ann. How are you? Al is our neighbor across the street.
Oh, cool.
And maybe we need to say really quickly, Al, hold on. We didn't even say that this program is going to be focused on veterans because we hadn't gotten to that.
Right. Yeah.
So David, our producer, hadn't gotten to that because we were still introductions. But
they will. And you know, Al, can you hang on for a minute? Because I had one shout out I need to do, okay? Don't go away.
Stay on, Al.
Go for it.
But we were talking about Stephanie with her insurance thing. And we had a free call on our house about 3 weeks ago. And so we've been involved in getting the insurance and everything together. And so today an adjuster came out. And I just want to shout, Patrick Stein is his name. He's an independent. Really neat guy, very professional, very knowledgeable. And I've been meeting a lot of people in this process. But I wanted to, Patrick, I wanted to thank you for being the guy you are and doing a great job.
God bless you, Patrick.
So, Al, go ahead. Tell us what you got in your heart, brother.
Sure. Well, I'd like to explain that Veterans Day was originally called Armistice Day.
Yep.
That was the signing of the end of World War One.
Yep.
In 1954, they changed the name to Veterans Day. Now, continue just to say that Memorial Day honors those who died, but Veterans Day honors all those who serve.
Yes.
And, in fact, we are celebrating Veterans Day here in our community in Vitalia, where we have a breakfast, and now we just have at the flagpole the raising of the flag and the saluting of the flag at 11:11. So I just want to give a call and let you know all about that.
Thank you, Al. Where is that? In case you want people to show up if they're able?
Well, that's in five
that's
minutes.
That's in 5 minutes. Okay, yeah, that won't.
That's in Tradition, Port St. Lucie.
Tradition, Port St. Lucie. Well, yeah. God bless you, brother.
Al,
thank you
for serving as well. Were you a veteran?
Yes, I am.
What branch of the service?
Yes, U.S. Navy.
U.S. Navy, well, fantastic.
I want to thank you for allowing me to speak, and have a blessed day, guys.
You too,
have
man.
Have a blessed day,
Thanks, Al.
Thank you for calling.
God bless you.
Bye.
Well, that was a wonderful kickoff. Yeah.
Hey, he introduced our show.
Yeah, we did.
Thank you for that.
I think because he had to be in the flag, it seems like
in five minutes he has to be at the flag.
4 minutes
well,
now.
Well, it's great that he called.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Well,
he's our neighbor across the street.
Is he? Okay.
Yeah. He's like the mayor of Italia. He knows everybody.
Okay.
He's a Christian.
Okay.
So
it sounds like he's a brother.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of, Al really kicked us off, but then I'm going to throw that ball into your lap, Keith, because you had some things to say.
Well, today is Veterans Day. You probably do know. And we are celebrating the veterans of America today. And we wanted to let all the veterans know that if where you served, who you served for, which branch you served for, we're hoping that you can call in and we can just honor you and just, we thank you for it. I myself was a veteran. I was in the U.S. Air Force from 1970. I'm going to give this up, huh?
It's up to you if you want to age yourself.
You don't usually do that, you know. Usually don't.
That's okay,
I'm proud of you.
That's okay, Keith.
We love you, Keith.
From 1974 to 1977. I was in SAC, Strategic Air Command, in Minot, North Dakota. I was a
talk about cold.
I've seen it, not to get off track here, but I've seen it get to like 80 below zero
with the wind chill, right?
With the wind chill,
yeah, that's like
and
Chicago weather.
Yeah, we had gloves up to our elbows. There was missile silos. I was in communications, and I was a cable splicer for the Minuteman I missile systems. And there's many different, unless you're in the service, you don't know. It's not just about people on the front lines or fighting.
Yeah.
There's so many different operations in the military
Absolutely.
Itself.
Yeah.
There's so many different operations that, you know, people aren't aware of. And each one of them, each one of those departments or operations are a support for the for everybody inside the department, inside the military. So I spliced cable from Minuteman from one missile site to another. There was one main section where the missile was launched from. There was 10 like a spider leg. There was 10 missiles surrounding the center. Mm-hmm. So there was like alpha. So alpha would be you would go, actually, and it's underground. It was about, I don't know.
These missile sites were in North Dakota?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there was a few on Grand Forks and Minot.
Okay.
So, yeah, so the head, so the main part was the silo. Gee whiz, it's been so long.
That's okay.
Yeah. So it was where you would go like Alpha. It was like a house. It would just be a house in the middle of nowhere, about 50 miles away from the base. So we would drive off base all the time. And then you would have to go. That missile would be connected underground with cable, just like the telephone systems,
makes sense.
Right?
Makes sense.
Yeah.
So there was actually 3,000 miles of cable.
Wow.
In the entire system of the Minuteman I missile system in Minot, North Dakota. So that also happened in Grand Forks, and that also happened in Montana. And those missiles, I don't know. I'll be honest with you, I forget the range of the missiles. But that was part of the defense system. And when they signed the peace treaty, denuclearized or whatever, they signed, they took missiles away. That was part of the agreement. The armistice or whatever.
Armistice Day, which they had.
Who signed that bill? I don't know. But they closed the missiles down in Minot, so those aren't operational anymore.
Yeah, they had some in Missouri, too. We lived by one in Missouri. It was closed down, and it was a missile silo.
Right, right. So there's 10 of them. And then the silo itself goes down so deep into the ground.
Yeah.
I didn't even know about this.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I got
it was interesting. It was before I was born. Yeah.
So we would go down into the missile silo room.
Which was it, the Minuteman 1, 2, or 3?
The Minuteman 1.
1? They had a 5,500-mile range.
Okay, so there you go.
Wow.
There you go.
Right.
Yeah, that's a long, it's a good way.
Well, Keith, we thank you for your service.
Yes, thank you very much, brother.
You chose to go into the military. You voluntarily
enlisted. I did, before I knew the Lord.
Yeah.
And that was part of my knucklehead days.
But did you see God's hand on you throughout that time, Keith, even though you did not know the Lord?
No, but we had somebody who was a believer in our unit. Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's just been so long. I haven't used the terminology.
That's okay.
You know, so, we had a believer in our unit. And he was a strong believer, and we used to talk because we used to have to drive, like we would drive an hour or an hour and a half to the missile site to the silos to work. Cable.
They were ridden in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, we were. And the cable would happen because you're in farmland, the cable would come up out of the ground and it would get tilled because as the farmers are tilling the dirt. Mm-hmm. In the spring to start planting their seeds, it would get cut because they wouldn't see it, so it would get cut. So we would have to go in there and go back and then put the cable back together with a new piece going in. So
this is all new to me.
Yeah, and they've pulled a lot of that out of the ground because of the copper. It's worth something.
Yes,
and they sell it.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a
big deal. That's right. There's a copper sheath. Inside the cable.
And they get people to go in and do it so that it doesn't come up and ruin the fields.
Wow.
Well, you know what? I want other people to call because I want to hear their stories. This is all new to me.
This is
I didn't know about these missile silos in the U.S.
They have all over national defense, especially poised in a
underground.
Position. These are anti-ballistic missiles, right?
Anti-ballistic missiles.
From other enemies.
Yeah, it's been 50 years since I was in the service. Mm-hmm. So you kind of forget the terminologies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're not going to hold you to details.
Thanks.
Keith.
No problem. I appreciate that.
You know, one of the reasons.
I don't know basic math, Keith, so you're good.
One of the reasons why we're not just because it is Veterans Day, that's a good enough reason to talk about and celebrate our veterans.
Yes.
But we also sense an importance to get kind of beneath the surface of what's going on and talk about where is God in terms of a nation defending itself, right? Because it's very important that we have God's view on everything.
Yes.
But particularly now, the focus is national defense, and how do we go about that? Why do we do it? Right. I'm just going to throw this out because I know we've all been doing a little research on this.
I wanted to say something. I think that some people who were not forced to be in the military, because I know some people had no choice, right?
During the draft of the
correct. But those who voluntarily enlisted, I feel like they have this commitment to their country. Mm-hmm. And
And when I was doing a lot of research for this morning, it may be their act of worship to serve mm-hmm. our country by voluntarily signing up. And you're signing up for something where you don't know if you will live or die, because you could go into war at any point, right? Mm. If we had any active battles at that point. But it's an act of worship, and I thought that really was beautiful, that they're serving God by serving their country.
And some may start it out being very patriotic, but without a connection to God. And I met several people that they met the Lord while they were in the military.
Praise God.
And so that's always an awesome testimony to hear that.
Yeah, I mean, worship is not only on Sundays. It's no. mostly the other days of the week where we worship the Lord.
That's right.
So,
and when we were dealing with Veterans Day, so we're giving God thanks for all the veterans, those who have died and those who are still with us.
Mm-hmm.
But we do know that many veterans give their lives in service, but not during war. There's training exercises
yes.
with people.
Yes.
There was a family, and when I was in, last time I was in a regular church as a pastor, whose son was killed in a training accident, a helicopter crash.
Oh, boy.
And, you know, it was deeply grieved because he was, you know, and there's no distinction between losing your life in a battle, in a war, or losing your life in training.
No, you're still
You're training
serving.
For that.
You're still serving.
And it's a death. It's a moment of great heartfelt grieving for everybody that knew that man or that woman who died in training.
I was in I was in the helicopter a few times during the spring after the winter thaw. We would have to take a helicopter, and you'd read a map. It's a geographical map of the entire section. Big map, so it was the fun part of the job. Mm-hmm. I would sit in the front and guide the helicopter pilot to follow the cable, which is underground. We're
just
following
on the by the paper
by
map
by the map. Yeah, we're following the cable on the map, mm-hmm. and I'm showing him where to go. And then they would get a kick out of it. They would like it because they got to fly up high. Like one time, the pilot says. He was trying a radio. We were flying at about, I don't know, 300 feet, 400 feet, somewhere around there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just because you're going, you know,
yeah.
it's low to the ground, so yeah. you're staying there.
They call it nap of the earth.
Okay. All yeah. right.
I didn't know that.
And then the pilot would try and radio, and he goes, oh, we can't get any reception. We got to go up. Now, there's no mm-hmm. doors on the helicopters here, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm mm-hmm. buckled in. It's like,
yeah.
And I'm just looking outside. And the helicopter pilot goes, okay, we got to get some reception. 1,000 feet up in the air without a door on the helicopter looking down. And you're like, okay, I think we're high enough. I think we're high enough. So, but yeah, that was a good part of the job. That was a good part. Yeah.
You know, one of the things that I appreciate when I hear veterans talk about their stories and what they learned while they're in the military, and a lot of them come back to the gospel. A lot of them, mm-hmm.
Yes.
a lot of the stories point to and gospel principles. It's not always a verse in scripture, but the gospel principles. And one of the things that we did when my boys were young in high school, we'd have all the football boys over to our house on Wednesday nights and feed them very well, which was a lot of work. Those boys can put down some food.
Right.
But mm-hmm. one of the things that we do is we would either have like a sports person from the Chiefs, or we'd have somebody from the military come in and teach them, you know, principles from what they've learned doing either sports or military or in other jobs too. But those are two that are very
similar.
And there's a lot of really good lessons. And we had this one guy, they called him Speedy. He was the person that flew over the Washington when 9/11 happened. He was the first one they called up.
Oh, wow.
And so he came to our home and told these boys these stories. He was a good friend of ours. He was actually in the legislation.
Mm.
Probably going to run for senator in Missouri at some point. But anyway, he came and told these stories. And I'm telling you what, I was on the edge of my seat. Mm. And these boys were... But his one story that he told was the integrity. If he had not had the integrity to do exactly what they said to do up in the air when they were just trial runs, he wouldn't have had. And it was an incredible story, and I won't go into it now because I would have loved for him to have called today. But if if we can understand that the integrity that you have to have in the practice runs, as then, so when you go into battle, then that's like us in the gospel. If we don't do this on a daily basis, a when analogy. No one's looking, then what's going to happen when we're in the heat of the battle? Will we be able to stand?
The discipline that they teach you in the armed services. Yep.
We got a break we're going to take. When we come back, we might go a little deeper into what Scripture says about national defense and those who serve. What happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line.
This is Jonathan McLean, General Manager of WCNO Christian Radio. We just completed Prayer and Share October the 6th through the 17th. Many of you joined us during those days. We had an awesome time of celebrating the goodness and faithfulness of God. We are so close to reaching our goal. If you have not sent in your donation yet, you can go online to WCNO.com or you can call us at 772-221-1100. God bless you and thank you for your continued support of WCNO.
And we welcome you back to Biblical Response. There is a phone call. Hey. Hey, caller, welcome. You're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome. You're
Can
on
you
the air.
Me?
Yes.
My name is Lee Lamson. I'm calling in because I was asked to call in to talk about my veterans.
Hi, Lee. It's Ann. How are you?
Hi, Ann. How are you?
Thank you for calling. I do know Lee and his wife, June.
Cool.
They're wonderful, wonderful people.
Yeah.
And I did get your text.
That was my text, Lee.
Okay, well... the reason why I got into the Army in 1965 was actually I had dropped out of school and gone back to school and forgotten to change my draft status. I think it was something like 2S or whatever, which made me draft eligible. And so I got my draft notice while I was living in San Bernardino, California. And I said, oh, well, let's give it up and get it done. So I really didn't volunteer to go in. I got drafted. And so I decided to make lemonade out of lemons, to be honest with you. So I went to basic and AIT and became a chaplain's assistant for a while, then got recruited to go to flight school for warrant officer flight school to fly Huey helicopters in Vietnam, which I then completed and completed a tour in Vietnam, flying over 1,000 hours flight time in Vietnam.
Wow. Wow.
Thank you so much.
I ended up there.
Thank you so much.
For my second tour flying for the airplanes, got transitioned to fixed wing, and flew for the Army Security Agency in a top secret mission.
Lee,
I could tell you now if I wanted to, because I had a, if I had to tell you, I'd have to tell you.
Don't tell us, Lee, please. No. Hey, but you know.
Anyway, I got discharged in 72. Even though I wanted to stay in the Army, I loved it. I loved my flying career. That, but my, I finally got a commission and ended up as a captain in 1972.
Wow.
My branch wanted to send me to a career for an undercompany tour, third undercompany tour without my wife, June. And my wife promptly told me it's either me or the Army.
Okay.
That's
I
a
hear
smart
that.
Wife, Lee.
So now, 50, yeah. 60 years of marriage later, I think I made the right choice.
You did. You did. But, Lee, thank you for your service.
Four kids, 16 grandkids, and 16 great grandkids so far.
Praise God.
Wow. Well, that's fantastic. But, you know.
So now, because I had flown Agent Orange missions in Vietnam, I got contracted illness that still affect me today.
Yeah.
And I'm a full-time resident of the Artie Kofis Veterans Home over in Tradition, which is a skilled care nursing home, mm-hmm. but I've progressed back to my health so that I'm considered independent, so I can get around on my own now.
Praise God.
And a tithing member of Grace Emmanuel Church, which where our mission is part is contributing to WCNO, and I'm happy for that.
We are grateful too.
Yeah, he's
me.
A good friend of Pastor Sam Chest.
Yeah.
Him and his wife June.
Lee, thank you. We are very grateful for your service. We appreciate what you did, and I can't help but believe that along the way you inspired many other people.
Yes.
Because of your service, and we're just appreciative of that very much.
Well, thank you very much.
Lee, thank you very much.
It was an honor to serve, but like the time I was drafted, I really didn't believe it was going to be.
Hey, well, I got a 4F when I went to my pre-induction physical, so I never got a chance to do it. But I do have memories of the pre-induction physical. It was life-changing. You know?
But I did make lemonade out of lemons.
There you go. Sounds like you did. And you got a great flying. Did you continue flying after you got out of the Army?
No, I couldn't afford it. I tried to get into the airlines, but at the time they wanted to have, I applied to Delta. They wanted you to have a master's in aeronautical engineering.
Wow.
To get accepted.
Really?
And back then they were flying 737s, which had a pilot, co-pilot, a flight engineer. So you would start as a flight engineer at about $5,000 a year, less than I was making as a captain in the Army. So that wasn't really an incentive.
I can see that. Right. Things must have changed, though. Over the years now, it's probably a little different.
There's a short demand for pilots in the airlines today.
I would think. Yeah.
Yeah, they are.
Because I have a flight simulator in my room here with the yoke and the pedals and the multi-engine pilot.
Yeah.
So I can fly vicariously.
I've seen that.
That's a great setup. That is a great setup.
I've been to June in Lee's home before he moved into that facility.
Yeah.
He has a whole getup in the den. It's really cool.
My.
So,
well, if you ever start inviting people,
it's what we call my man cave.
Yeah. Yeah, I wanted a man cave. We got to get the bear out first. So, anyway, thank you for calling, brother. God bless you,
Lee. And tell June I said hi, okay? Thank you. Thank you for calling.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Bye bye.
Oh, that's great, man, to hear from. Aww. Yeah, yeah.
You know what? Him and his wife started, I believe, the St. Lucie County Tea Party. And they made it to what it is today.
Wow,
and
fantastic.
Because of his illness and because of, you know, he's not able to do that anymore.
We have another call coming in. Fantastic. Hey, caller, you're on the air.
Hi, Dave.
Well, hey, Karen.
Karen,
our own
from
Karen
WCNO.
Hubbard. Yeah.
Hi, Karen.
Hi, I just couldn't stay away.
Well, that's good to hear. Yeah. We didn't want you to stay away. Tell us about your service.
Okay, I wanted to share a little bit of my story with the military. You know, it started from when I was almost 6 years old in 1961. I was standing in front of the TV and I saw the Peace Corps. It had just been put into effect. That was in March of 61.
Huh.
And I remember thinking to myself, I want to travel the world. I want to go to those countries. And, you know, I always had this sense of adventure.
Mm-hmm.
So I always thought I was going to join the Peace Corps when I grew up. And, you know, the one thing, the Peace Corps doesn't have a tagline. But what they are always associated with was JFK's inaugural
mm-hmm.
speech. That's not what your country can do for you. That's what you can do for your country. Mm-hmm. So that's more closely aligned with, you know, the ideals of the Peace Corps. But I remember hearing that at 6 years old and thinking, oh, I need to go do something for my country. Mm-hmm. And anyway, so fast forward to 20 years old, I'm working in a nursing home, and two of my coworkers said, hey, we're going to join the Navy. You know, we're going to be Navy nurses. So it's like this light bulb went off, and I thought, okay, maybe I should do this. And I had grown up in a patriotic town in Massachusetts, and there was always a great respect shown for the military. And I have three of my brothers served in the one Air Force, one Army, and one in the Marine.
Wow.
And then my dad was also a Korean War vet. So, you know, we always had this just a great respect for the military. So
you're Karen, real fast, your family served in each branch of the military.
Yes.
Army, yes. Air Force, Marines, and the Navy.
Correct.
I didn't mean to jump forward with that, but I just realized that. Sorry.
Good point.
Go ahead. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And, wow. So then, you know, that opportunity came up. I had never even thought about joining the military. It just never occurred to me until my two coworkers had came bouncing in from work, and then boom, another light bulb went off. So I went to the recruiter the next day, and it turned out that it was one of my older brother's friends from high school. And so he's, you know, what he said to me was, oh, here's Jack's little sister, you know, and it, so he wined me and dined me and, you know, to get me to sign up. Well, they had to, because I was right at the end of the Vietnam War, so people were not enlisting. It was a really horrible time.
It was.
And the military had a bad rap.
They did. They did, Karen. Remember that? The military was getting so disrespected. And when you came back from Vietnam, they were getting spit on. They were getting, you know, just every accusation against them.
Right. So, you know, it wasn't a pretty time.
Right.
But I just kind of knew, you know, within myself. Now, I didn't know the Lord back then, but I knew I just had the unction to do it. And so, I signed up, passed the exam and everything to sign up for hospital corps school. So I went to boot camp in Orlando. So my introduction to the military was wonderful because they had just finished the recruit training center in Orlando. So everything was brand spanking new. You know, beautiful barracks, air conditioners, you know, everything. And I loved it. I loved boot camp from day one.
Really?
I did. I liked having instruction. I liked having the parameters. And I liked learning whatever we had to learn. And, you know, I just knew inside I was doing this all, maybe by faith, but I didn't know the Lord. But I enjoyed it, and then got out of boot camp, went up to Great Lakes for school, for hospital corps school. And, you know, they began showing the movies about the Vietnam War wounds and things of that nature, and I suddenly decided that I didn't want to do nursing because it was too many gory pictures. So I dropped out of school, and then I was up for grabs. You know, they called us gophers back then. I think they still call you a gopher. But dropped out of school, and then I was sent to Antigua in the West Indies.
Really?
And then there, that was in the Caribbean, for those that don't know where the West Indies are. I thought it was over near Pakistan. But anyway, went to the West Indies, beautiful island, small base. There were maybe 110 active duty. And out of that, only four of us were females. So if you can imagine, that was the ratio back then.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So there was still a lot of, you know, we had to deal with a lot of sexism and things of that nature. But but I grew up with five brothers, so, you know, I was
able. You're used to it, Karen.
Yeah.
Got it already trained you.
I went through it. But really know what I was going to do because I was just really up for grabs. You know, whoever needed gopher work done is what I did. But I ended up working in the mechanic shop, and I was driving a dump truck, a backhoe, a bulldozer, front-end loader. I steam cleaned the engine.
You go, girl.
Wow.
Thank you, Karen.
You know, a lot of gopher work, grunt work, like. But it was fun.
Needful.
I just say, everything yes. I ever did, I enjoyed it because I was doing something. You know, and I just keep remembering about it serving. And I think, Ann, you were just mentioning about that, about worship.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I didn't know the Lord, I felt like everything I was doing was contributing somehow to the overall mission of, you know, the base did, I don't know what they did. Everything was top secret there. So nobody knew what those people did down in that building.
Mm. Wow.
Don't you think that that's a lot of times why people join the military is because they need to belong? And we all are searching for something, right?
That's true.
I mean, we're all seeking something. And a lot of times we'll seek something that has purpose and is worthy. Well, the military is something that we couldn't do without here or anywhere really in the world. I mean,
yeah,
that's how it works. But here in the United States, it's been God has really graced us here with our military and the people that have served. And even if you were drafted, you know, and even if you came home and were spit on, I'm telling you what, God knew you and knows you. And even now, I'm sure there are people still living that had that happen. And I just want to tell you that we honor you and we know that God has a purpose in your life. And, we just want to give you honor. Karen, thank you so much for your military experience and bringing it in here to
We did not know this, Karen. Well, we're like right across the hall.
And
with
we keep calling her like we know who she is. Well, we do know who she is because she works at WCNO. She is one of our, she has a show on Friday.
Yep.
So we're just glad that you called in and we're part of our show today.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
It's beautiful.
Taking the time to honor the veterans.
It's good.
You know, we can never do enough of. Because I feel like myself that I did not do as much as those that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
Those that are out in the helicopters, those that are out on the ships.
But that's a lie because you were there backing them so they could do their job.
Yeah.
They were just the ones that people think about when they think about the military because that's what they show you on TV, you know? I mean, that's what you see. But who are those people that are fixing the airplanes, who are digging up who are running the backhoes, who are building the air bases and things like that? I mean, we have to have those kinds. Now, a lot of that is now given to the public sector to do. They'll hire people to come in.
Or contractors, yeah.
Right. So, but thank you so much for your service. We just appreciate you even more now.
Yeah.
Now that we know.
We love you.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
God bless
you're
you.
Welcome.
See you
thank
soon,
you,
Karen.
Sweetie.
Bye, Karen.
See you tomorrow.
Yeah. Bye-bye. Okay.
Bye. Wow. Yeah, that's, I hear that from a lot of people as you're talking. And I appreciate Karen's. She always wants to do the best she can do, and
that's
been part of her mindset for the longest time. And so I know what she did. She did tremendous work. It was all behind the scenes, though,
She does that a lot now here.
Call.
I love
all
these callers. Praise the Lord.
Hey, caller, you're on the air.
Good morning. This is Al once again. I spoke to you earlier.
Hi, Al.
Hey, Al.
Well, I'd like to know if I have your permission to share a prayer that I just prayed at our veterans' service over Vitalia.
We would love that.
Please do, Al. Please do.
Okay. Well, this is what I prayed, and I'd like to pray it again. So before I pray, I'd like to share a Bible verse that speaks of our faithful veterans. It's from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 13. And that reads, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend."
Amen.
That's our veterans.
Amen.
So let me pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you filled with gratitude for the gift of freedom and the sacrifices made by all our veterans. Lord, we thank you for all those.
Whoops, I think the call got dropped.
Our nation, protecting our liberty, providing peace, and securing our freedom. We ask you, Lord, to pour out your comfort and healing on those who bear the physical, emotional, and spiritual scars of war. And let your mercy and grace surround them and their families. Grant them your strength, your courage, and your divine protection. Help us honor their willingness to lay down their lives for others, reflecting the love that your Son Jesus had for us.
Amen.
We may your peace fill their hearts, and may our nation never forget what they have given. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Al. That was beautiful.
That's wonderful.
I just prayed that prayer at a veterans meeting, and after I said, you know, I want to call back and see if I could say it on the air as well.
I'm glad you did.
For the honor of saying that.
Amen. We're glad you called.
That's awesome, Al. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Al.
You welcome. Have a blessed day.
You too, brother,
as well.
At this point, I think we'll go ahead and take our break, and then we'll be back to wrap this up.
Come in power.
Well, welcome back to Biblical Response. And gosh, today we're having a good time with our veterans on Veterans Day. We had a lot of wonderful callers sharing their stories. And we have some time. If you're a veteran and you want to share your story, the number is 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100. And I was prompting our team where we're going to go from here. I was thinking when we talk about military, and I know there's some folks out there that get a little twitchy when we start talking about our military and our need for defense. And, I'll tell you, I personally would love to live in a planet where everybody was perfect, so nobody fought each other, right?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's heaven, the perfect place where everybody's in love with and God and each other. Mm-hmm. Here on Earth, we're broken people, and we're human beings who have, we're at the worst case scenario.
We're sin.
It's exactly the consequences of sin. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, there's another caller. Well, we'll wait on that wisdom. Caller, welcome. You're on the air.
Hello, this is Dave Dirks.
Hey,
I'm
Dave.
A Vietnam veteran.
Yes, Dave. How you
Hi,
doing?
Hi, David. It's Ann. How are you?
He's good,
also lives in the same community as my parents.
How cool
thank
is
you
that?
For calling, David.
Well, thank you for having me call. Thank you for making it available.
Yeah, David. So can you tell us what branch of service you served and then how long and if you have any stories relating to your time of service?
Okay, I was in the Army. I got drafted in 1968 and I served in Vietnam most of 1969. In the 4th Infantry Division in the Central Highlands, which was Pleiku and Kantum. And I was in the Signal Corps, and I ran a radio, which allowed guys from the field to come in and call their loved one, call their wife, or call their mom and dad. And I set up a call for them. It was way before cell phones. But anyway, it was a radio depended on the atmosphere as to whether we had connection with the United States or not, but it was very rewarding to be able to set up those calls and call the people's, the guys could call their wife or their mom or their girlfriend or whatever they chose to call. Just had to go through a series of operators. I ran the radio in Vietnam for 8 hours a day.
Wow.
Some days we didn't have any atmospheric conditions that were favorable, so we couldn't make any calls. But when the atmosphere was just right, we had contact with another radio, a ham radio operator in the United States, and then they would we would give them the phone number that the soldier wanted to call. And then they would get a telephone operator on the line. The operator in the States would get a Bell telephone operator. Mm-hmm. And the Bell telephone operator would contact the party if they wanted to call. And it was just a matter of, once we got it all set up, flicking the switch from transmit to receive. And, the people had to say over and just like the old-fashioned way.
Yeah.
You talk about behind the scenes. I'm telling you what, David, that's pretty cool because I've never heard that story before. I mean,
all these stories are new to me, to be honest with you.
And these need to be told. Maybe we should do this next week and just let everybody call in. But seriously, that's fascinating. My dad actually buried telephone cable here in the United States for Southwestern Bell. That he was a subcontractor. So just hearing those names are like, oh my gosh, yes. Mm-hmm. I know exactly what you're talking about. So,
hey, Dave,
it was called MARS, which is an acronym for Military Affiliated Radio System.
You were a well-liked person in the company.
They wanted to talk to you, David.
Everybody wanted to be your friend.
They did.
Yes.
They come in from the field. We were like halfway between division headquarters and the field. So we were like at a brigade headquarters in a city called Kantum. you know, the guys would come in for a few days rest, and then they'd come to our radio station and sign up to make a call.
Dave, you were...
Sometimes it was like in the middle of the night, you know, when our
right.
when the conditions were best.
Right. Mm-hmm. You were stationary in Vietnam over there with the radio?
Yeah, like we moved around a little bit.
Okay.
Near the end, the last couple months, we tried to take our radios to them rather than them come to us.
Okay, and, right.
And that was during the monsoon season, and I was designated driver for our truck, which was carrying the radios, and plus we had an air conditioner that I was pulling. And,
wow.
During the transport of the equipment, it was raining and the roads weren't paved, of course. It was just dirt road, and it was slippery and slidey. And
right.
Next thing I know, I looked in my rearview mirror and the air conditioner flipped over.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, no, David. Oh no.
So I was stranded out. In the middle of nowhere.
Oh man!
Was that air conditioner for the things you were carrying, the radio and stuff?
Yeah.
See, we freeze in here in our radio station sometimes, but they tell us it's for the equipment, and now I believe it.
Okay. Thank you for bringing that up. I had no idea.
Yeah. No, I was listening. I'm like, yep, they're talking equipment, air conditioner here.
That's right. Keep the equipment because you generate.
We don't care about
heat.
The people. We just got to keep the.
Hey, well, the electronics are thousands of dollars.
I know.
These stories are so precious.
They're great.
Go ahead, David.
The equipment was ruined.
Of course.
Hey, Dave.
Take it to the salvage yard.
Dave, let me break in here because.
It really wasn't my fault.
No.
Yeah.
Trying to keep up with them. In front of me.
Dave. Hey, Dave, listen, this is the other Dave. We're kind of coming to the end of our time, but before we sign off with you, I don't know if you have a story, but I do know that what you did really enabled heart-to-heart stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
Between the soldiers and their families, so needed. Is there one story you can remember of maybe one soldier, how being able to speak to a family member blessed him? Can you remember?
There were so many.
Yeah.
Some were, unfortunately, some weren't good either.
Sure. Mm,
yeah.
It was almost like a dear dad, you know, where the girlfriend didn't want to wait any longer for him to get home.
Oh, wow.
That kind of thing, so.
There's some sad
those
times.
Were the sad ones.
Yeah.
But there was one that I can't remember the whole story now, but there used to be a newspaper that came put out by the Army. And we were in that story about a call we made for somebody that had been involved in an accident back home. It almost like they were trying to get a hold the other way around. They were trying to get a hold of the soldier. I don't know, they used the radios to do it rather than go through the Army. They went through the Army, but they went through us and tried to backtrack and do the exact opposite of what we were doing. So I know they were very thankful for that.
I'll bet, yeah.
Well, thank you.
Everything turned out okay.
Well, Dave, thank you for calling and sharing your story with us. God bless you, and thank you for your service.
Thank you very much, Dave.
Thank you. Thanks, guys, for doing this. I appreciate it.
God bless you, David.
God bless you, man.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Hey.
Oh, wow. That's we've had. Yeah, I could see. I'd love to. I don't know what we'll be doing next week, but you know, we could always.
You know, all the different roles that are in the military.
I hope that people really understand how much we appreciate
our veterans
calling and talking about themselves on this.
Yes.
That, you know, we don't know. And that's the problem. We don't know history and we don't know what happened. And a lot of times it's because, you know, they go on with life and they don't really talk about it. And a lot of them have seen some really bad things. And so, you know, there's trauma, and that trauma sometimes can get buried under, you know, different symptoms like alcohol and all those kinds of things and drugs and things.
Depression.
And so God has just come into so many people's lives after something like that and restored them. And, you know, if you're struggling, please reach out. I know that we would be glad here on the radio, you know, here at WCNO to help you
find
resources or whatever we need to do. We would love to be able to help you with that. So don't be afraid to email us. And Dave, if you
the
want to
email, yeah, the email is WCNO@WCNO.com. Yeah, we'd love to hear your stories.
Give us your stories. Email us your stories too.
Yes, there is a place to send a message there on the website, on the main page.
Yeah.
And we'd love to hear from you. In fact, we can probably, if you send us, excuse me, this always happens. But if you send it to my attention, send it to attention of David, and then you can put a biblical response in the subject line, then I will get it, and I can have that story, and we might share a few of them if you send it in now for next week.
Yeah.
We'll only give first names unless you say, use all of my names, but we won't do that. Our time is running out. We have like maybe 2.5 minutes before we have to say goodbye.
Could I give a scripture real quick?
Well, you could, yes.
Yeah.
Because I think that, you know, the Word of God has a lot of verses in it that talk about war because it you know, we are in a war. We're in a spiritual war.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so we need to make that connection with the spiritual side of the human side. And I just want to, this is just one little tiny piece of a scripture. It's not the whole scripture, but it's Psalms 18:30. And it says, he is a shield for all those who take refuge in him.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there's a lot that it talks about bending your, that training your hands for war so that my arms may bend a bow of bronze. Mm-hmm. It's in the same chapter, but as we fight, we can get tired. We can get worn out. And if you're struggling today, just remember that he is a shield for you to take refuge in.
Amen. And always.
Always.
Can I also, if I may, Mr. Producer, pray for those who are struggling.
Why don't we close in prayer? Okay. Why don't you lead us in that?
Jesus, I just want to thank you for each and every person who has served our country, Jesus. The way that they put themselves below others, Lord God, they serve others, and it's such a wonderful example of how you served us. Their service to our country reminds us of what you did for us, and you died on the cross for us, Lord God. Lord, I want to pray for each and every veteran, Lord Jesus. I want to pray for continued health, Lord God. I pray for continued healing. Stephanie had mentioned if any have anything as a result of being in the military, PTSD, depression, whatever it may be, Lord, I speak healing right now to them, Lord. Lord God, I pray that you would invade their minds with your love. And Lord, I pray that they would come to know you, those who do not know you, that you would invade them with your love, Lord Jesus. We thank you, God. We pray and we continue to honor those who serve our country. Lord God, it is a blessing to live in the United States of America. And we thank each and every person, whether they served on the front lines or they did something in the background. We thank them for their sacrifice, Lord God, because we are reminded of your sacrifice on this cross for us. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. 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 Thank you for listening. Veterans, thank you for your service. God bless you all.
Thank you for joining us. Tune in next Tuesday at 11 a.m. for another edition of A Biblical Response. If you have issues of the day you would like us to explore, email us at WCNO@WCNO.com. In the subject line, write David@A Biblical Response. Remember, when you are challenged by what you see and hear going on around you, pray and invest in God's Word for guidance.